right, we are going to finish Bli Neder, Lecha Dodi, tonight. So we are on the last two verses. The verse that begins, Yamim Usmol Tifrotzi. And then, of course, the very, very last verse, which is, Boi V'Shalom Ateret Ba'ala. Now, what we need to do is that the source sheet that looks like this, with the word Ufaratzta and Segula, we're going to need really, really quickly. Okay? Just sort of giving you a heads up. So that's when it looks like this.
The one you gave out today?
Right, the one I gave out today. Okay, so let's begin. So one of the exciting things about thinking about tefillah is that you begin to see connections over time that you didn't realize were there before. So I think I must have said Yamim Usmol Tifrotzi several thousands of times in my life. I don't think that's an understatement. And it never occurred to me till I was looking at it in an analytic fashion that Yamim Usmol Tifrotzi is extremely similar to a famous pasuk that Avraham Avinu hears from Kutcher Brichu. And that is the first pasuk on the sheet. The famous pasuk of Ufaratzta. Okay, because Tif Rotzi and Ufaratzta, the same word, Pei Resh Tzadi. Right? Now it's also fascinating that one of Tamar's sons was named Peretz. And it's from Peretz, of course, comes ultimately Mashiach. Okay, so it's very, very interesting how that is. So let's look at this phrase. We have Yamim Usmol Tifrotzi. So on the right and on the left, you will burst forth. Okay, you will spread out. In an amazing way. It's people will know. People will notice. It will be surprising how we are going to blossom and burst forth. So again, that's based on the first source we're going to look at. This is from Sefer Bereshit, Perek Chaf Chet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. And you can see right away where Rav Shlomo Alkobetz Zatzal got this idea of Tifrotzi. V'haya zaracha, says Hashem to Avram Avinu, V'haya zaracha ka'afa ha'aretz, and your children will be as numerous as the dust, right, of the earth. Okay, so now, interesting, right? And I've told this to you before. There was a time in Jewish history, in probably the 700s or 800s, and certainly almost for sure around the time of the Spanish Inquisition, when there were approximately less than 1 million Jews in the entire world. An entire world. That's pretty frightening. Okay. So this bracha of the v'haya, right? V'haya, of course, is v'yeh, right? It's the vav hipuch that you all learned in school. So the vav changes the form of the verb. Haya is the past. V'haya in biblical Hebrew, the vav hipuch makes it not v'haya, but it becomes out really as yeh. So it's as if it was written, yeh zaracha kafar ha'aretz. Okay, in the future, okay, your offspring will be as numerous as the grains of sand in the earth, or like the dust of the earth. Okay, that many. Ufaratzta, and here's where Rav Shlomo Alkobetz has his phrase, Ufaratzta yama. Now, in this case, yama does not mean like yamin usmol. Yamin usmol means, of course, what, everybody?
Right and left.
Right and left. You know, you've all been in Israel, and you know how you get directions. You could be in Haifa, and you ask, how do you get to Yerushalayim? Oh, yeah, yamin, yamin, small, small. Right? Okay, it doesn't matter where you are. But that's yamin usmol. But in this case, ufaratzta, you shall burst forth. Yama, yama in this case means westward. Why? Because what's on the west of Eretz Yisrael? The Yam HaMelech, right? The Yam HaGadol. That would be what? Not Yam HaMelech, but rather Yam HaGadol, which is the Mediterranean, right? So that's why Yama is related to the idea of Yam, right? That's where the ocean is. So Yama would be westward, V'Kedma eastward, V'Tzafona northward, V'Negba, right? So there's going to be so many of you, you're going to spread everywhere. V'Nivrachu b'cha, kol mishpachot ha'adama, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. Okay. All the families of the world would be blessed to you, uvazarecha, and through your future offspring. Now, you've all seen the lists of some of the universal things that the Jewish people and the Israelis, in particular, have done for mankind. Okay, we're all from the generation where, you know, immediately one of the first names that comes up, of course, is Salk. Okay. Right?
No more podium.
Einstein. Okay, and so on and so forth. Everybody here probably is walking around with one of these. All right? It's a little thumb drive, a little flash drive. SanDisk. Where is SanDisk based?
Israel.
Okay, anyone here take generic drugs? Mm-hmm. Where is the largest generic drug manufacturing plant in the world? Teva. Teva Pharmaceuticals. We all have had some kind of Teva pharmaceutical thing, right? So, without even getting into the big, heavy lifting, it's very easy just to recite that. And then, of course, you have a hugely disproportionate number of Nobel Prize laureates, right, that are either Jewish or Israeli, or Israeli Jews, right? And that's been going on for a long time. In other words, were we to be represented correctly in terms of our population, what would there have been? In all of the time they'd be giving out the Nobel Prizes, so maybe there'd be two Jews. Maybe. But that's, of course, not what it is. It's like, what is it, 30%, 40%? So clearly this part of the bracha has come clear and has come to the fore. The niv, right? All the nations, the nivrachu b'cha, kol mishpachot adama uzaracha. So that's what we have. We have this idea that eventually, okay, that it's going to be yami musmal tifrotzi. Now, I already gave you a little hint. Tifrotzi is like what word we said before? Parrots. And right in the same overall verse, if you just skip one small line, ayadei ish ben partzi. So this is what kind of time frame are we talking about here? As soon as you say ayad ish ben partzi, what are we of course referring to? Mashiach. We're talking about messianic times. Okay? So eventually, it's not today, it's not tomorrow, okay, but eventually Yamim usmol tifrotzi, okay, ve'et Hashem ta'aritzi. Now, ta'aritzi is a very, very hard word to translate. So, you already know, obviously I did my homework, okay? The Hebrew verb is ayin resh yud sadi, okay? It might be, actually, if you really wanted to be very specific, it's probably ayin resh sadi. But it appears in Sefer Tehillim, in Tehillim Yud, as Aritz. Okay? Now, what does Aritz mean? So, since it occurs but once, as far as I was able to find with relative ease, So you have to go to the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra tells you, what does Aritz mean? Aritz means no ra, awesome. So therefore, ve'et Hashem ta'aritzi, and you will hold Hashem in awe. In awe. Okay? That's direct from the Ibn Ezra. And if he said it, that's certainly good enough for all of us. Okay? V'nismecha v'nagila. Okay? And we will be joyous, and we will sing with great gila rina and so forth. Now, I at first, you should know, I learned something that I didn't know. It's kind of cute almost. Right? Hava Nagila. I was convinced that Hava Nagila was what? From some pasuk. Okay? Wrong. I looked it up. It turns out it's a song of the early, it's a folk song of the early pioneers in Israel, the Chalutzim. Right? It's not a pasuk. So I was all ready to be able to tell you, oh, you know where Nagila is? But I was wrong. So anyway, v'nisbecha v'nagila, and we will be happy with our choice. Okay. That is the eighth verse. Any questions on that, or are we good? Okay. So basically, the two themes in the verse are the ki'um of the pasuk, Davar Malvinu, fulfillment of the pasuk of Yamim Usmal Tefrotzi, right? Again, V'haya Zarcha Kafar Ha'aretz U'Faratzta. And the second idea is the messianic vision being fulfilled. So it's a second kiyum, second fulfillment. All right. The very last, but not least, verse. Bo'i V'shalom Ateret Bala. Now, in order, that means basically, come in peace, the crown of her husband. Okay? Now, if you do have this page, it looks like this. Okay? If you have this page, so what you want to go to the very last thing where it says, Mishle Perek Yud Bet. Everyone see that? So Mishle Perek Yud Bet Dalid. So I happen to be learning Mishle with my wife. And the sound of the phrase Ateret Bala made a great resonance when I saw it. Turns out that I had learned that parak with Arlene. And this is the part that's very important, because this is where Rav Shlomo Alkabatz got his phrase from. Eshet Chayil Ateret Ba'ala. Right? A wife of valor. Okay, or perhaps you'd even say a valiant wife is the Ateret Ba'ala, she's the crown of her husband. Okay, and we all know that how powerful the woman is in setting the tone of the home. You want your husband to learn? You want your husband to go to shul? You have to encourage him. Okay, if you don't want that to happen, then either be, if a woman is parif or discouraging, it's not going to happen. We all know that's not going to happen. So that's one of the ideas that, in a sense, the woman is so powerful in setting the tone. It's more than that she's the crown of her husband. Really, she's the akeret habayit. She's the essence of the home. And you all know that. You know, I always joke, who's the most powerful person on the planet? It's not some Russian, right, who can bench press 800 pounds. In my case, at least, it's a 5'2", right, wife.
Itty bitty woman.
You got it. That's what it is. So that's what it means. A woman's strength may not be as physical as a man's strength, but she sets the whole tone. And that's what the idea is. So Bo'i V'shalom Ateret Bala. So come in peace. Now, who are we referring to again? Who is the... okay, but the Ateret Bala refers, of course, to Shabbat, right? Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. We're talking about Shabbat. Okay? Now, Gam b'simcha uvet sahala. So come in simcha. So ready? The $64 million question, because in our day and age, $64,000 is not too impressive, right? Like when I was growing up, that was the game show. But today I have to say $64 million. You know what they say in Congress, don't you? It used to be when it was time of little Abner, they used to have in the papers a million here, a million there, right? So pretty soon it's money, they would say in Congress. They don't say that anymore. Today they say a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon it's money. Okay? But here's a $64 million question. Anyone have a great pasuk for the word sahala?
Sahala.
And I'll give you a hint.
From Purim.
This I don't have on the sheet, but anyone recognize this? Mordechai yatsa melivnei ha-melech b'levush malchut v'gomer v'ha'ir shushan sahala usmecha. Followed by a pasuk that we all know literally in our sleep, because we say it every Havdalah. L'Yehudim. There you go. So, again, you see that as beautiful and as wonderful as the L'cha Daudi is, you can see that he's clearly drawing over and over and over again from Sukkim. Okay, so gamba simcha uvet tzahala. So simcha and tzahala, okay, they really are two different terms. To go into the differences would take an exceptionally long period of time. But I would say simcha has, just to keep it simple, has a very strong inner component, okay, as well as a certain visible component. Whereas tzahala, okay, is very, very easily seen. You know, it's like, I can't speak about a woman, but I can speak about guys. Like when a guy falls in love, you know, he's like usually pretty much dumbstruck. Okay, he's almost, you know, you would think that he really could climb, you know, tall buildings at a single bound, and that, you know, he could walk on air, and it's very similar. You guys ever see My Fair Lady? Right? Okay, and I've often walked down the street before, right? That's what it's like. That's the level of rejoicing. And then multiply that. That's what we're talking about. Gamba simcha uvet sahala. That's the kind of joy that we're looking for. And again, this is a joy in Torah, in mitzvot, in love of Hashem. So, toch emune am segula. Okay, so in the midst of the chosen people, okay, who are believing in you, right? The emunei, those people who are what? Ma'amin, right? Those people who have tremendous faith in you. And who are they? They're the Am Segula. This is the idea of the Am HaNivchar. Now, if you go to the latest sheet that I gave out tonight, which looks like this one, because I know there's several. So that one, the word segula is used explicitly just before the receiving of the Torah. Sefer Shmot, Yutet, Pasuk Hei. Ve'ata, says Hashem to Moshe. Im shemoa tishmu b'koli. If you will certainly listen to my voice, ushmartem. Okay? And this is said in the plural. And you will keep et briti, my covenant. Okay, then what? V'yitem li segula. Then you will be my treasure, right? You'll be the my special, unique treasure. Mikol ha'amim, over and above all the other nations in the world. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole world belongs to me. So basically, I'm the boss, right? Make no mistake about it. I'm Kone Akol, right? I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I choose who I want to choose to be the Am Segula. Now, if you notice, by the way, in this Pasuk, that this is contingent.
Mm-hmm. Another will keep the commandments.
Correct.
It went to the 70 nations, and only we were.
Absolutely. It's complete.
Worthy.
Right. It's complete contingency. Right? In other words, if you will follow my voice, if you will keep my covenant, then. So it's the classic condition. If then, if you do X, then Y will be the result.
Sounds like child rearing to me.
Right? And well, the idea of logical consequences. And that's the other end, unfortunately, that we've witnessed quite a lot of ever since the time of the Egel HaZahav, which will be read this week in a shul near you. And in addition, of course, the Meraglim, you know, and Korach. I mean, you know, we've had our problems, to put it mildly. But however, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuvach Hashem Meinu k'kedem. That's the idea. We can always come back. So, but make no mistake about it. And this Rabbeinu Shem Shmuel Raphael Hirsch makes quite clear. Don't think that being the Am Segula, don't think that being the Am Nivchar means we're better. No. We're more responsible. We're not better. Okay? However, of course, when we live up fully to the Torah and the mitzvot as much as humanly possible, then we do set a very high bar of judgment. Okay? Can someone do it all the time? Well, you already know the answer to that. You can't do it all the time.
I don't know.
And which is why, what do we all say for Yom Kippur? Thank God. Baruch Hashem. We can start again. Because I wanted to, I thought I could, but... Okay. Last four words. Bo'i chala, bo'i chala. Okay, the chala, of course, again, is Shabbat. Come Shabbat, come Shabbat, as we embrace you. Okay? Again, whose words were these? These were the very same words that we started our introduction to L'Chadadi with. If you go all the way back to the page that looks like this, you have, let's see, was that even the same one? No, it looks like this. I mean, we've had a lot of makorot for L'Chadadi. Okay. This is the one with Rav Shlomo Alkovetz's Kever, which someone told me was not in Tveria. I thought it was in Tveria. It's in Tzfat. It is in Tzfat. Yes, it's in Tzfat. So I wasn't sure. But that's where he's actually buried. Okay, so if you go to the first verse, and the first source, and you go to the last line, Rabbi Yanai, this is again the Gemara, as you see in Shabbat, Kuf Yutet Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Yanai, Lavish Manya, Ma'alei Shabbat. So Rabbi Yanai would wear his robes on Erev Shabbat, and apparently, although it doesn't say it explicitly, we would imagine he would go out into the fields and say what? Bo'ei chala, bo'ei chala. And that's how Rav Shlomo Alkovetz obviously chose to end L'Chadadi. So, I would say, just by summary, there's much, much more to L'Chadadi than initially meets the eye. There's psukim, there's concepts. In a very real sense, I think that L'Chadadi has become so popular over the years, over the last 400 years, because I think it captures the Jewish Weltanschauung, the Jewish worldview. I think it captures some of the pathos, some of the sadness of the Jewish people, and most of all, I think it. The important part, I think, that inspires us so much is I think it captures and encapsulates what Mashiach and Biat HaMashiach and the Zman HaMashiach will one day be. So, v'miravi amenu, it should happen soon. Okay. With that, we now go on to two Tehillim that follow L'Chadadi. And these are the Tehillim. These are what they call the closers, so to speak. These are the closers of what? Kabbalat Shabbat. Okay. So we're only going to do part of Tzadi Bet. I don't think we're going to get through all of it since there's a great number of psukim. There's 16 psukim. The chances are small we're going to get through the whole thing. But at any rate, let's get started. So first of all, the first one is Sadi Bet. So Rashi tells us what the whole concept of Tzadi Bet is in his Perush. And he says, this is Rashi's Lashon, V'hu midaber, okay, be'olam haba shekulo Shabbat. Okay, so he tells us that this, the whole idea of Tzadi Bet is the idea of Olam Haba, which will be the Yom Shekulo Shabbat. So that's, so you're looking for your PowerPoint, you know, takeaway? That's the takeaway. So why am I saying Tzadi Bet? Says Rashi, it's talking about Shabbat, which represents the whole idea of what Olam Haba is, and so forth. Okay? Okay, with that as an introduction, let's take a look. So how many times do we say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat on a Shabbat? Anyone want to guess?
Well,
it's not
630.
Yom is
three.
What?
Is it part of the Yom?
It is. It's the Tehillah for the Yom, mm-hmm. and also at night. So we say twice. We say in Kabbalat Shabbat, and we say in Shacharit in the morning, right? So in our shul, when we're done with Shacharit, then we say the Tehillim Shel Yom, okay? Which is unusual, by the way, for an Ashkenaz shul, but we do that, okay? In most shuls, when you've all gone away, right, you know that you say it at the end. But either way, we say it twice. And so I guess if you're going to look at what Rashi's comment is, so I think that it would really give you a sense that the emphasis, both in the night and the day, is the idea of Olam Haba, which is all Shabbat. So that's in a sense what we have to look forward to. Okay, so Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. So Mizmor is like Mizmor LeDavid, right? Hashem Alive, Lo Yirah, and things like that. Okay. So Mizmor is a song, and it's a shir. So it's a certain kind of song that, if you'll notice here, the translator says, well, if you say Mizmor Shir, it means there's going to be musical accompaniment, L'Yom HaShabbat, for the day of Shabbat. So who would be, who was in the orchestra?
On Shabbos.
Oh, yeah. On Shabbos.
In
the Beit HaMikdash.
Oh, the Levium.
Right. Right, it wasn't Eric Clapton. Right? It was the Levium. And yes, in the Beit HaMikdash, they played instruments on Shabbat.
Really?
Okay. They did. Okay, it didn't matter. In other words, certain things were allowed in the Beit HaMikdash, we weren't allowed any other place on Shabbat. For example,
it's not allowed, regular.
Why isn't that allowed regular? Okay, because whenever you would have instruments or anything along those lines, there is a rabbinic prohibition of not using them because Shema Yitakein. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would come to fix it. So, for example, let's say you're a violinist. Or you're a harpist and your string breaks. So what would you want to do?
Fix it.
You want to fix it. Now, it's interesting, by the way.
So Liam didn't want to fix theirs?
Well, maybe they actually could. In the Beit HaMikdash, maybe that rabbinic prohibition wasn't active.
They have it broke.
Or there's a lot of miracles that took place.
Yes.
Many, many, many. So maybe that was one of them. But either way, they were allowed to play in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Interestingly enough. Really interestingly enough. And by the way, the idea that this is a special song with musical accompaniment becomes manifestly evident when we drop down to Pasuk Dalet. Okay? Which we'll see in a minute. Alright. So, Tov Lahodot LaHashem. So it's good to give thanks to Hashem. What's that remind you of, by the way? Right, the idea of Lahodot, okay, is the idea Hodu Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasto, which is from Hallel. But another part of Tehillim. So Tov L'Hodot L'Hashem, it's good to burst forth in thanks to Kutcher Brichu, Ula Zamer, and to sing L'Shimcha, which of course we all know means essence, Elyon, so your sublime essence. So sometimes Hashem appears from afar. That's L'Shimcha Elyon. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu appears as your intimate friend. That's Yedid Nefesh. Very interesting. It all depends. Mm. Now, the next pasuk is a very, very interesting. You'll notice we have the words Baboker, and we have the words Melailot. So this sounds like a classic...
One singular and one
singular. Right? This sounds like a classic Jewish comedian's joke. Morning isn't morning, night isn't night, right? So what's going on? Boker doesn't just mean morning, right? In other words, Lagi Boker Chazdecha doesn't mean just to tell in the morning of your kindness, right? Or of Emunatecha Belelot, or of your willingness to fulfill your promises at night, right? But it means something else. And what Rashi says is this. Boker refers to the geula. Isn't that interesting? Whereas Lailot, says Rashi, refers to the continuation of the of your grandmother, or certainly would have said, the tsuris of galus, or the tsarota galut, right, that we, most of us would say today. So there are metaphors. They're terminologies that seem to refer to astronomical periods, morning and night, but actually, since as Rashi started the whole thematic presentation, we're talking about the time of the Messianic age. So Baboker means that we're going to tell of your chesed when? In the geula, in the redemption. But you know what? No matter how dark the day may be, okay, we have to always remember v'amunatecha and your faithfulness b'leilot when it's dark. So I saw from my Rebbe, from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, a very interesting idea. Just want to give you a quick summary of it. He writes in the Yalkut, in the combined sources that are found in the Masoret HaRav Sidur. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly even where this was taken from the Rav, because the source wasn't given. But he writes that when the Jewish people suffers, then the Jewish people suffer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers. It's an amazing statement. So you've all heard the phrase, Anochi imecha betzara, mm-hmm. I am with you in misery. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're never alone. And in a sense, v'emunatecha ba'leilot, your faithfulness, even during the tsarot ha-galut, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with us. We've never been alone. It seems at times that we've been alone. It seems at times, right, that we've been abandoned. So what does David HaMelech say? Keli, Keli, lama ta'azveni, right? Why would you abandon me? Okay? Very famous pasuk for reasons other than Jewish ones, as I think many of you know. Okay? It was taken hook, line, and sinker, so to speak, from the Tehillim. But David HaMelech says that. So sometimes people feel that way. So the next time someone says to you, is it wrong too? You can tell them, no, it's not wrong too, whatever that is. People have real feelings, and David HaMelech certainly gave voice to them, okay, himself, okay? So, but remember, nonetheless, one of the greatest ma'aminim in Jewish history was who? Was David HaMelech. Absolutely. Okay, so be'emunatecha b'leilot, in the darkest depth of the night, okay? One of the great lines that I remember from it was actually a pop song, but the line was a dark, the darkest moment of night is just before the dawn. So dawn's going to come. Mm-hmm. All right. Pasuk, go ahead.
I'm not saying that's the Beatles.
No.
Carol King?
No. No.
Okay, I guessed your best. You want to tell us?
Huh? I think it was Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh, okay.
I think it was. Okay. I'm not positive about that. I don't
I'll ask Suri after class.
Okay. So, Pasuk Dalet. Ale asur v'ale navel v'ale hegyon b'chinur. So, asur, navel, and chinur are all what, everybody?
Harps.
Instruments. Okay, they're all instruments. Do we know what an asur is? No. But what does asur look very similar to? What word that we all know? One, two,
Esser.
Ten. Asur looks like Esser. So therefore, the assumption is that Asur was a how many stringed a harp?
Ten.
Okay. Not bad. Vale Navel. That's the psaltery, which again is another type of harp. Okay, obviously they were different because you would never use the same word to mean the same, you know, for two different things, right? So you have to, if they're different, you have to give them different names. So unfortunately, we don't know. We, in our day and age, we have some idea. If you remember, not that long ago, maybe like a year ago, year and a half ago, I showed you a picture of a fairly biblical period Phoenician harp. Right? It was from a statue. And a very good chance that was similar. Okay, so Ale Hagion Bechinor. That's a very strange expression. What does Hegayon usually mean? Hegayon usually means in Hebrew logic. Right?
Logical?
Says, strange word, right? So if a person wants to say that's illogical and they were somewhat sophisticated, they'd say, Ihegoni! Mataomer! Ihegoni! It's ridiculous what you're saying. It doesn't make sense. Okay? So it's Hegayon. It means logic, reason, rational thought. So how do you combine that with a chinur? Which is why the translator here says, with speech upon a harp. So I actually have heard there's a, it's interesting, I know to be doing this and to quote modern music, but I can't help myself, there's a Springsteen line. Okay, Springsteen says that I've taught this guitar, you know, I've learned how to make this guitar talk. It's a line in Springsteen. Now, isn't that interesting? So, Alai, Hegayon, b'chinor. That we've been able to get Hegayon, speech. Okay, it can't really be logic, but we've been able to, how would I put it in my own terminology? Been able to communicate through the chinor. That's how I would say it. So, you have these three instruments, and they all have one great job. Right? What's the job? Well, it follows immediately after Lahagiba Boker Chasdecha V'Matava Leilat. So what are we going to use these instruments for? To tell the story. Why do we need the instruments to do it? So it's the same reason why we need the shofar. Because there are some things you just can't say. What's the best way to tell your spouse that you love them dearly? Is it just in the words, three words of I love you? Or is the best way to show them? You do for them. Because as you've heard it, how many Sheva Brachas? The word Ahava has the word Hav, which means to give. And when you give, that's when you love. Interesting, right? Same idea. So you have certain things that you just can't say. It's just, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to turn it into words. So that's where the music comes in. And it tells its own story. It's a different kind of voice. Okay? So, I mean, there's actually been people who, for example, stutter.
Except when they sing.
But when they sing, they don't stutter.
The country westerns.
Isn't that interesting? Or they stutter, but when they play an instrument, it's mellifluous. It flows. It's just, you know. So it's a different modality of life. Okay. So next, ki simach tani Hashem before Alecha, because I'm joyous, Hashem, in your works. Okay, b'maase yadecha aranein. So aranein is like, you know, rina, right, ditsa, chedvan, all of that. So I will be joyous. Okay, and so this is a person who obviously appreciates nature. David HaMelech appreciated nature. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to always say that one of the ways of appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to go out on a dark night when the stars are all around and just recognize what unbelievable creation Hashem has wrought. It's just an unbelievable thing. So, and what do you do? So there's two ways you can do it. First of all, you do need awe. You do need to feel in awe, but at the same time, should rejoice too. Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, right? Kulam b'chochma asita. Okay? We say that every single day when we daven, as we've learned together. Okay? So, and instead of ma rabu ma'asecha, what do we have in Vav? Magad lu. Right? So not how many, but how great. Right? How great, how amazing are your creations, Hashem. Now, by the way, how many of you, back in the old days, you don't have to tell me when it was, 7th or 8th grade, looked through a microscope, and you saw pond water, and you saw the amoebas, and the hydras, and all those things moving all around, right? And even there was a whole world. Right there. It's amazing. And there's life in every part of the planet. Every part of the planet. So I think I even shared this with you a couple of weeks ago. Even the thermal vents at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, right? The thermal vents are like coming up from the core of the planet. So they're 2,500 degrees. Do you know that there's certain bacteria that live there?
Could imagine.
Can you imagine that? It's you know, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the back of the walls of our bathrooms when our cleaning ladies miss a spot and like, I can't believe that's there. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the bottom of the ocean where the pressure is unbelievable and it's 2,500 degrees. It's amazing. Okay? So that's what we're looking at. Said so. Ma gadlu ma'asecha Hashem. So ma'od amaku machshavotecha. So the depth of your thought is incredibly deep. Which means, of course, what? That if try as we might, will we ever be able to understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu? No. What?
Are we supposed to?
No. Because how can that...
question why.
Right? That's the old famous line that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says in the Kuzari. If man thinks he knows God, then he knows that he does not know God. Because how can finite know that which is infinite? Mm-hmm. That's a very famous paradox. And, of course, David HaMelech says this. So if we can't know God, so to speak, right? Because only Moshe knew Hashem panim al panim. Mm-hmm. So if we can't know God, what can we do? That we can appreciate His actions, right? Ma gadlu ma'asecha. Now, not everybody is sensitive to this. Ish ba'ar lo yeda. A boor. So see the closeness in language between ba'ar and boor? Okay? A boor... I'll be very rabbinic, a ne'er-do-well sort of chap, uksil. Now, uksil has a really good translation. Fool. Okay? Lo yavin etzot. They can't understand this. Why? Because they can never get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they don't appreciate his actions, his deeds. Okay? But for us, when, you know, you pick up your baby for the very first time, okay, or something wonderful happens and it's a true simcha, you realize Zehayom Asah Hashem Nagila V'Nismachavo. You realize that's what it is. Okay, so we're up to the eighth pasuk in Tehillim Tzadi Bet, and Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll continue next week.